Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Joe Biden's America. Add that to your list of goodies for the Thanksgiving dinner coming up, where your family might be deeply divided. I don't know. Katy Perry's got some advice for you on that. Biden's calling for unity. That's hilarious. We'll talk about that. Matt Walsh from Ben Shapiro land. Now that Biden thinks he's won, he wants us to unite. Sorry, I'll pass. He says, seven big items on Biden's White House agenda, Biden planning to reverse Trump's pro-life policies. I mean, you could fill in the blanks and all this stuff. But is Joe Biden actually going to be the next president of the United States? I don't know. We'll have to see. There's a lot going on there. Just so you know how close it is, then I'm going to do a couple of stories here real quick. GOP state attorney generals urged the Supreme Court to overrule Pennsylvania court's election law changes. And what role could the Supreme Court play in the election? So I want to get through those articles here at the beginning of it. Then we're going to get into all this other stuff. But here you go. I mean, do your own math. Here, I'm hitting the mic. Sorry about that, Seth. With my paper here. Okay, do your own math. Do your own homework. See, right there. Do your own homework. All right, here's the deal. I don't think Michigan is much worth the effort because the difference between Biden and Trump is 146,123 votes with 99% in, but we don't know, right? So it's just crazy. But Michigan's like the only one in six figures. Okay, listen to this. Pennsylvania, which we'll talk about here in a second. Pennsylvania, out of almost 6.7 million votes. 6.7 million votes. This shows you how, I mean, this country is like cracked right down the middle, right down the middle. And that crack is getting deeper and the divide is getting wider. More on that as we go down this road. So Pennsylvania, out of about 6.7 million votes, is only the difference is 46,256. That's minuscule. Okay. Arizona, out of about 3.3 million votes total, the difference, Biden is up by 14,746, and that number keeps dropping. Dropping enough. Yesterday, did you notice on CNN that they turned Arizona from blue to gray, meaning, not sure yet about that. Georgia, actually more people voted in Pennsylvania than Georgia. In Georgia, out of about, right just shy of 5 million votes cast for the president, they're separated in Georgia by 12,291. That's all. Tiny numbers. And then in Wisconsin, out of 3.24 million votes cast, they're only separated by 20,540. So very small degrees of separation, given what we're hearing out there. And hopefully a lot of this anecdotal evidence and things that you're seeing on Twitter and Instagram and all these little reports of people. If somebody says, hey, here's what I saw, that's called anecdotal evidence. OK, that doesn't do anything other than make the rounds through social media. You need more than that. And maybe Bob Barr, perhaps off vacation now, is going to actually do something. And maybe Trump will actually get some tough lawyers in there. We'll see. I agree with what Rush Limbaugh was saying yesterday, was that he needs an election czar, somebody to kind of run the show. We'll see. And I don't know. I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scenes, but we're going to keep paying attention to it. But you can see these razor thin margins in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin. And Michigan's the only one in six figures with the 146,123 vote lead for Biden over Trump. So just keep an eye on that. It doesn't matter, by the way, what the mainstream media says. It doesn't matter what Twitter says. It doesn't matter what you see on Facebook. It doesn't matter what you see on Instagram. It doesn't matter what you get in an email. It doesn't matter what anybody's calling the election, because the results aren't certified until, at the best, December 14th, when the Electoral College gets together and meets. So CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, All you guys, you got a little thing standing between you and you declaring reality in this country. And that little thing, in case you forgot the name of it, is the U.S. Constitution. Okay? So that's the fat lady, and she hasn't sung yet. So everybody just chill and pray. And also especially be praying. Add January 5th to your prayer list. Those are two runoff elections for the two U.S. Senate seats in Georgia. And God forbid, if the Dems took those, America as you know it will be literally transgenderfied in less than 6 months, starting on January 20th when Biden's inaugurated if he wins, okay? So you've got some GOP state attorney generals out there urging the Supreme Court to overrule Pennsylvania court's election law changes. And by the way, are you experiencing the peace that surpasses all understanding? I know I'm talking about politics again. And this is a big deal. There's a lot of things going on here, a lot of pro-life legislation, a lot of things that matter because they affect 340 million people. So it's Christian of me to discuss it because it's affecting pretty much every neighbor you have. But are you experiencing, are you walking in the peace that surpasses all understanding? If you're really struggling, I'm going to reference you back to the show from last Thursday. I'm going to keep throwing this out there for you. Theology Thursday, Pastoring in Perilous Times with Pastor Chad Harvey from RFA Church here in Raleigh. Tons of people have seen it. It's been one of our most viewed shows in the last 3 months. And it really was helpful about God's sovereignty and our role as Christians in this nation and our kingdom responsibility versus what's going on with this election. So if you're really stewing and struggling and angry and losing sleep and just pulling your hair out, go listen to that. You can watch it on Facebook, from Facebook Live from the Steve Noble Show page, or you get the podcast, okay? But there's extra content when you watch on Facebook Live because we continue to do things on commercial breaks. Republican state attorney generals say the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has jeopardized the nation's constitutional balance of power, see, constitutional, by legislating from the bench and allowing late arriving ballots to be counted. Now they're calling on U.S. Supreme Court to intervene. Three of the state attorney generals, Jeff Landry of Louisiana, Eric Schmidt from Missouri, and Mike Hunter from Oklahoma, held a virtual press conference Monday to announce the filing of an amicus brief in the Pennsylvania mail-in ballot challenge brought by the Pennsylvania Republican Party, which is before the Supreme Court. Quote, the actions by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court are one of the most breathtaking abuses of judicial authority that I've ever seen in my years as attorney general, said Hunter, Oklahoma's attorney general. Nearly a dozen state attorney generals have come together to urge the Supreme Court to review the constitutionality of the Pennsylvania court's decision. Why? For all of you constitutional students, which I hope is all of you, because the U.S. Constitution vests election authority in the state legislature. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream, this world could ever see. Forever. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, working through some Biden's America stories. But I said it before, I'll say it again. Are you experiencing the peace that surpasses all understanding? Because I am. I mean, in the flesh and in my spirit too, I'm aggravated and I'm upset. And I'm concerned, but I'm also, that's that strange, I keep saying it, I'm going to keep reminding you. It's the strange tension of the Christian life. We live in the here and the now, we moan and groan over it because there's real consequences that affect real people made in the image of God. So yes, I moan and I groan and I get concerned over the here and the now. I long for the there and the then when all this garbage is gone. Perfect justice, perfect peace, perfect humility. No sin. I mean, it's going to be absolutely mind-bogglingly amazing, okay? When the kingdom comes to earth. But until then, we fight for truth and justice and God's way, much more so than the American way, by the way. The American way includes the slaughter of, 61 million babies and our past of racism and women couldn't vote and we'll draft you. And send you off to die in a war, but you can't vote yet. We had to change that via amendment. And all kinds of, we got a checkered past, just like us as individuals. This nation has a checkered past. Own it. Own it. But there's also a lot of absolutely astounding and beautiful and amazing things about America. And it's okay to own that too. So keep your feet on the ground, keep your eyes towards heaven, and be a good ambassador of Jesus Christ and all of this stuff. But don't act like this is the whole basis of your life. If your whole basis of your life is American politics and even the state of the American nation, if that's the foundation on which your house is built, you're in big trouble, and that's not Christ-like. Okay? That's why in between the red and the blue is tucked this brilliant white. You got the red over here on the right and the blue over there on the left, and somewhere and in between is this kingdom that's glaringly, blazingly white with holiness. And that is our kingdom. That's our primary kingdom. So yes, we engage in the earth and the things of the earth with a biblical worldview. But remember that your citizenship is in heaven way more than it is in America. And I love this country and I'm a patriot. But my ultimate allegiance, by the way, and I'm not afraid to say this live in person, on the air, whatever, is when I say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, there is a little check in my spirit. And that little check is, hey, Steve, does your allegiance to the flag outweigh your allegiance to the kingdom? Are you way more invested in things about America than you are in things about the kingdom? Do I proclaim the things of conservatism more loudly and proudly than I proclaim the things of God? Will I have a conversation with a stranger about politics more readily than I'll have a conversation with a stranger about the gospel? Now, I am not your judge, but we should all be wrestling with those types of questions. Okay? What role should the Supreme Court play in the election? Good question. This is from the Daily Wire just earlier today. The main issue at the moment is in contested states is how absentee ballots are being counted. Due in part to the current pandemic, federal courts altered state voting guidelines, a move that should have been the sole domain of state legislatures, according to conservative justices on the Supreme Court. Conservative justices, AP News reported, object to what they see as intrusions by federal judges who order last-minute changes to state election rules even in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Now listen. This is super important. Even the AP got this right. The power to alter absentee ballot deadlines and other voting issues rests with state legislatures, not federal courts, according to the conservative justices. Why? Because that's the Constitution, like it or not. That's called the rule of law, which doesn't give a rip about your feelings or your political associations. It's just the rule of law. If, in fact, the margin of victory for Biden remains narrow enough to demand a challenge from President Trump, a more thorough examination from the Supreme Court could come either in a post-election challenge or in a less tense setting that might not affect the 2020 vote but would apply in the future, which is important. Whether Trump wins or loses, there actually is a bigger story here, is the reliability, the trustworthiness of the U.S. of the American electoral process. If we can't trust the electoral process, then we're like one step into banana republic territory here, okay? Then who's in control? Well, that would be the forces of darkness, aided and abetted by the elite. Liberal elite, George Soros types, all that kind of stuff, okay? And then we're just plebeians playing in their game, playing in their sandpit, okay? That's some really scary stuff. Votes in Pennsylvania may require Supreme Court intervention. In particular, it's possible that segregating all ballots received after 8 p.m. on Election Day might allow the Supreme Court the opportunity to rule on whether those late-arriving ballots should be counted, according to Andrew McCarthy in the National Review. As of last Friday, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito ordered such late-arriving ballots in Pennsylvania to be separated but ordered the vote count to continue. The order, according to The Hill, signed by conservative Justice Samuel Alito, left open the possibility that the justices could exclude the late-arriving ballots in a subsequent decision, a move which Alito and at least two other conservative justices had previously signaled they might be inclined to take. The ballots in question, now listen, here's some sober-minded adjustment here. The ballots in question are between 3,000 and 4,000. Without further intervention from the Supreme Court, discarding these votes would have little effect on the final outcome given Biden's current margin of victory in Pennsylvania, which I previously mentioned, is about 46,000 votes. Okay, so you got to do much better than 3,000 or 4,000. Although, take the Trump context out, and a mess up of 3,000 or 4,000 votes in one instance is a problem for the whole country. Because it's not just one instance. This is happening in a lot of other places, and that's just what we know of right now. And this is not old news. I mean, this is not new news. This is old news. There's been shenanigans like this going on forever. Like, how can you have more people voting than people that are registered? How can you have more people? And what about dead people and all that kind of stuff? What may be of greater significance, back to the article, is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that upheld the state's mail ballot due date extension. This led Justices Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch to suggest that, quote, listen, Pennsylvania State Court encroached on the legislature's constitutional authority over state elections. opening up the possibility for further rulings on the final tally in the state, even when Biden declared, with Biden declared the current winner. That is huge. So what they're saying is any rules put in place by the state board of elections and then confirmed by a federal court is unconstitutional because that's the state legislature's role and nobody else's. More than a decade after the Civil War, the Supreme Court intervened in the presidential election of 1876 between Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden due to allegations of intimidation and fraud from Democrats, according to The Conversation. And then most recently, of course, we had it in 2000. So this is not new. But where's it going to go? I don't know. Best be praying for truth and justice. Okay, that's super important. Okay. Can we get back to a united America? Can't we all just get along? Rodney King once said. The answer to that question is no. Not when it comes to policy and decisions and lawmaking. Can we get along? Well, Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Psalm 34, seek peace and pursue it. We're to be people of peace. So you go out of your way to be at peace with others. How they react, you can't control, but you can control how you react if you have people this Thanksgiving that are Biden people, and then you have to deal with that, right? And you can't control how they react, but God holds you very responsible for how you react. All right, so when we come back, this whole notion of unity, Biden's calling for it. Katy Perry's given some advice, and she gets blasted. And Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire says, yeah, I'll pass. And then seven big items on Biden's White House agenda and Biden planning to reverse Trump's pro-life policies. Very serious stuff. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Find your nearest liberal and hold hands. And let's talk about unity. Because that's what Joe Biden's talking about. Are you buying what he's selling? Biden calls for unity, but some fellow Democrats contradict the message with spite towards Trump supporters. No, come on. This is from the Daily Wire. I understand the disappointment tonight, Biden said this other day when he kind of made his pseudo acceptance speech. But now let's give each other a chance. It's time to put away the harsh rhetoric, lower the temperature. Biden added, and to make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. They are not our enemies. They're Americans. No, that sounds nice. It sounds nice. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Let's get along. So that's his unity message, right? But some members of the party Biden is now set to lead for the next 4 years do not appear to be getting his memo as they lob angry rhetoric at those who have worked with and for, and even those who simply support Trump. Quote, is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants who, when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said in a tweet, I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, photos in the future. Well, whatever AOC says goes, right? You can't heal or reform the GOP, who are now an extremist party. Wajahat Ali, a contributing writer for the New York Times, said, they have, listen to this, he's talking most likely to you. And to me, got my hand up. They have to be broken, burned down, and rebuilt. Wow. Sounds like a typical protest gone bad. When Biden is in a power, is in power, treat them like the active threats to democracy they are. If those who committed crimes aren't punished, then they will be more emboldened. Some have advocated for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was Robert Reich. To go after those who have worked for the president. In fact, a group to catalog those individuals already exists called the Trump Accountability Project. Uh-oh. Well, I had like a member of the Trump campaign team on almost every day for the last 3 weeks. So I hope I'm on that list. Michael Simon, who previously worked on the 2008 Obama campaign and in the former president's administration, pledged the project would provide a record of every staffer, appointee, donor, endorsee, and enabler. But some on the left attack not only political types who might have worked with or for Trump in the Trump GOP, but also the president's rank and file supporters. Whether Trump supporters are hostile or misled makes no difference to victims of gun violence, an uncontrolled pandemic, and heartless immigration policies, all of which are choices. Brandon Friedman, a former member of the Obama administration and columnist for the New York Daily News, said we should reach out to, quote unquote, those families long before attempting to reconcile with deplorables. Here's another one. I won't emphasize with support, forgive, understand, make amends for, reconcile with Trump supporters. Not a single one. tweeted Preston Mitchum, a liberal community organizer in Washington, D.C. Quote, he was a proud white nationalist who proudly raised up many white supremacists. That's who supported him. And I make no apologies for saying this. The disconnect between Biden's unity message and the anger toward Trump supporters for some in his party is a microcosm of the Democrat Party headed into 2021. Biden, however, seemed during the campaign to say that he would control the party's agenda, not the liberal squad in the House or Senate progressives like Warren or Senator Bernie Sanders. My party is me, Biden said during the first presidential debate, as Trump accused him of being at the helm of a party that wants to eliminate private health insurance, a position held by many who lost to Biden in the Democratic primary. I am the Democratic Party right now, Biden added, sounding strangely like Emperor Palpatine. I am the Senate. I am the Democratic Party right now, Biden added. Really? Really, sir? Actually, I don't think you are. But time will tell. But what about Katy Perry? Katy Perry giving everybody some advice, so listen up, people, okay? Katy Perry urges fans after election to express love to relatives who do not agree with them politically. Leftists unsurprisingly continue to demonstrate unhinged hatred and lack of mercy to anyone who doesn't view the world through their flawless lens. Their latest victim is singer Katy Perry, who committed a heinous sin after media outlets declared former Vice President Joe Biden the winner of the 2020 election. You see, she actually urged her fans to contact family members who don't share their political views and express love to them. Perry tweeted, "The first thing I did when the presidency was called is text and call my family members who do not agree and tell them I love them and I'm here for them. Family first. Hashtag family first. Call your family today. Happy Sunday." Oh, the heresy. Oh, the scandal, writes Dave Urbanski. I think this is the Daily Wire. How did folks react? Well, let me back this up a little bit. Chad Harvey talked about this the other day, Pastor Chad Harvey, last Thursday, that when the guy, somebody from Nightline came out and did a story about evangelicals and election results, and he called them afterwards, and he's like, hey, how you doing? Assuming that we're going to be totally down in the dumps and depressed and on the ledge because it would appear that Joe Biden's going to be the next president. And so, man, you just lose it. And so this one is really a complete misunderstanding. And by the way, a great opportunity for a Christian witness. So Katy Perry, the first thing I did the presidency is call and text my family members who do not agree and tell them I love them. And I'm here for them. I'm here for you. Why would Katy Perry need to be there for her family members assuming they're Trump supporters, they lost the election because they're despondent, they're down, they're in the dumps, they're just freaking out. So she needs to talk him down off the ledge. Except if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be on a ledge, right? Your feet should be firmly planted on the rock. And that becomes a great opportunity for us in this environment. Hey, Steve, how you doing? You know what? I'm great. I'm concerned for the nation. But for me as a Christian, I'm great. I am saved. I know where I'm going. I know who loves me. I know who's got my back. I know who loves me enough to chastise me. And chastise me, he does. And then I'm fully known and I'm fully loved. And man, all the garbage I've done, things that I am doing, the way I sin and fall short today, and God still loves me. He took to the cross for me. Man, based on all that, I'm great. Yeah, but what about the election? Oh yeah, I'm bummed out about that. Yeah, it's serious, of course. So how did folks react? Here's a sampling. Truth is, rich white people such as yourself were never at risk no matter who won this election. To you, this is more a disagreement of opinions. To the rest of us, this election was a matter of life or death. So no, I won't be calling my family to console them. Here's another one. Super good to know white supremacy isn't a deal breaker for you. Talking to Katy Perry. Or this, I refuse to bow down to my oppressors. I refuse to extend an olive branch to people who don't think I should exist. No, sorry, that's the left who doesn't think unwanted babies should exist. Got that wrong. Here's another one. You can disagree on pizza toppings and TV shows, Katy, not basic human rights and decency. Or this, yes, family, I forgive you for wanting to deny marginalized people human rights. After all, I would hate for Sunday dinner to be awkward, another user quipped. Another commentator offered better options, which were calling friends and family who have been traumatized by 4 years of hate and asking them what they need, and calling friends and family who are Republican but voted for Biden and thanking them for putting people above politics as well as slapping racism out of others. Right, because that's the way to solve racism. Just knock it out of people. Perfect. That'll get the job done. Okay, so Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire, who works with Ben Shapiro. Yeah, he's not buying all this. Biden stressed unity. This is Matt Walsh wrote this, I think, today. Biden stressed unity over and over again, promised to bring Americans together and heal us, declared an end to partisanship, and announced his intentions to restore the soul of America. I'm not sure how a soul is restored, much less how a president can do it. Perhaps it's something that can be handled through executive order. However it's done, the point is that our souls have been restored, we are healed, and we can unite together, clasping hands in fields of daffodils and singing songs of joy. All is right in the world because Uncle Joe is here to sniff our hair and calm our fears. But it is an odd thing, this healing, this unity, Matt Walsh writes. Even as Biden lays his healing hands upon us and keeps them there for an uncomfortably long time, other Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are busy compiling enemies lists of people who support Trump. Something called the Trump Accountability Project has been formed for the purpose of blacklisting anyone who committed the crime of wrongthink over the past 4 years. It appears that before we can hold hands and dance in the fields of flowers, a few, say, I don't know, 70 million or so, heretics must be burned at the stake. Biden apparently forgot to mention that the healing shall commence only after his enemies have been slain before him. I suppose that doesn't sound quite as inspiring in a speech. That's all this unity, this is Matt Walsh writing, that's all this unity and healing stuff really is, fodder for speeches. Namely, speeches delivered by a man who belongs to the ideological and political club, which has, for the past several years, insisted that all of their opponents are bigots, racists, or worse, and not worthy of acceptance in polite society. Anyone who threatened their agenda or defied their wishes was slandered, smeared, and ripped to shreds, labeled a gang rapist even, if that's what it took. In recent months, they have taken this Machiavellian gospel to the streets, burning and looting and making victims of their fellow Americans, none of whom did anything in particular to incur their wrath. These are the same people who would tell you that if you belong to a certain race, white, and sex, male, you are fundamentally and irretrievably broken, racist by your very nature, and probably a sexist too. And they have told us we cannot come together under the flag or as Americans because America is systemically racist, a global disgrace, and its heroes are all monsters whose monuments must be defiled and destroyed. Okay, a couple more things there from Matt Walsh, and then we'll get out of the unity thing and talk about some actual agenda items that Biden's going to be working on, things he'll do immediately if he wins. And a challenge to all of you watching and on the radio to join us at Love Life this Saturday and the following Saturday, the next couple of Saturdays, because we need to take a stand and it's only going to get harder. Hey, what are you doing this Saturday? This Saturday at 9 a.m., if you're here in North Carolina, welcome back. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. If you're here in North Carolina, or if you happen to be in other states, Love Life Live, we've kind of switched to that with COVID and everything. We still have people out at the various abortion clinics. So we're kind of doing the regular Love Life thing that way, but also online via Facebook and Zoom. So you could see 15 or 18 or 22 different abortion clinic locations in multiple states. But this Saturday and then the following Saturday will be our week 40 celebration. So Love Life goes 40 Saturdays in a row outside these abortion clinics with a prayerful intercessory presence. Other people are there calling out, trying to get resources, just trying. This is the last stop before death for these children, okay? So with the potential, strong potential of Joe Biden being the next president of the United States, as I'm about to share with you, the onslaught of pro-abortion movement from the White House will erupt immediately. Like January 20th, that afternoon, they will go right back at it to reverse everything that the president has done. So this Saturday and the following Saturday, 9 a.m., go to lovelife.org. And we're in Greensboro. We're here in Raleigh, two locations, down in Charlotte, multiple locations. And then online, if nothing else, if you can't get there online. But go to lovelife.org because this fight is, we've seen some advances over the last 4 years. Praise God. But a lot of that's going to get, if Biden ends up in the White House, a lot of that's going to get reversed literally within hours. Okay? So we need to double down back to get rid of the assumption that we're going to move in the right direction because you have somebody like Donald Trump in the White House and assume you have a total pro-abort and that whole agenda. Okay? So this is from the Christian Post. Biden planning to reverse Trump's pro-life policies by executive orders. According to the document, Biden would, quote, reverse Trump actions on abortion and reproductive health care, including reversing the Mexico City policy, which, by the way, is using American dollars for organizations around the world that also provide abortion. So all of a sudden, we're spreading some of our wealth to abortion providers around the world. That's the Mexico City policy. So we'll reverse that immediately. Restoring funding to Planned Parenthood and contraceptive coverage under the ACA, Obamacare. But restoring funding to Planned Parenthood, Trump was able to, using executive authority, pull about 50 to 60 million bucks out of the 550 million that this country gives to Planned Butcherhood every year. Biden can reverse that before he goes to bed that day at 6 p.m. or whatever. The Mexico City policy, first signed into law by President Ronald Reagan, requires foreign non-governmental organizations to promise not to perform or actively promote abortions as a method of family planning using U.S. taxpayer dollars. They're going to reverse that. In 2019, the Trump administration implemented a Protect Life rule barring health facilities that receive Title X family planning funds for performing, promoting, or referring to abortion as a method of family planning. Rather than comply with the rule, Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in the country, withdrew from the Title X program. That's what cost them about $50 million. Biden's vow to restore full funding to Planned Parenthood indicates that the Protect Life rule would go by the wayside in a Biden administration. Restoring the contraceptive mandate under the Affordable Care Act could result in religious employers having to pay for birth control coverage in their employees' health insurance plans in violation of their religious beliefs. That was the big lawsuit, by the way, with Hobby Lobby fighting that Obamacare was forcing a Christian organization to provide abortifacients, like RE46, the day after pill. Brian Birch, president of the faith-based advocacy organization Catholic Vote, noted that Biden supports, quote, forcing Catholic religious orders like Little Sisters of the Poor to provide abortion drugs in their health care plans. He cited the Democrat candidate's posture regarding religious employers as evidence that a Biden-Harris ticket threatens the values Catholics in this country hold most dear. But Biden, so-called Catholic, doesn't care, obviously. So there's going to be stuff like that going on, okay? Which is why the call to unity and stuff. It's not unity and peace over everything. Truth trumps everything. God's truth trumps everything. So I'm not going to unite and play kumbaya on a policy level with people that oppose the word of God. You do not. And there comes a time, by the way, for a peaceful resistance and for outright disobeying of a law. If a law, federal, state, local law, contradicts God's law, you have an obligation as a Christian to obey the higher law. So if you work in a pharmacy and somebody comes in and they say, I want the morning after pill, you can say a religious conscientious clause. You're going to have to work with somebody else. I'm going to have to get somebody else over here because that's a violation of my religious conscience. There's conscience clauses. But under a very liberal organization, administration, that stuff's going to be under threat. And now you can't use a conscience clause at all for yourself. So that's why in this Matt Walsh article, when he's talking about, yeah, no thanks on the whole unity thing. And I'm going to finish this. This is what he was saying. And Matt Walsh, if you don't know him, writes for the Daily Wire with Ben Shapiro. Hardcore Catholic and very aggressive, okay? I don't always like his tone, but his content is usually excellent. But now a man steps out from among this group of bullies and smear merchants and bids us to unite. Unite around what, though? And for what? What commonality, what shared sense of purpose, what universal goal or value is supposed to bind us together? This is a huge point that I'm going to be making a lot, because this is our problem. The Tower of Babel. Remember that. I started talking about it yesterday. I wouldn't know how to unite with Joe Biden and his ilk, even if I wanted to, which frankly I don't, because I know the answer to my own questions. We are meant to unite in submission to the Democrat Party and its doctrines. We are meant to come together around the Democrats and their hollow vessel of a leader to say congratulations and hooray, and we agree in about four or five other pre-approved sentiments. This is the unity for which Joe Biden pleads. I have won, so now we can be friends as long as you follow the marching orders, he says with a magnanimous smile. He's being facetious here. Well, call me ungrateful, but I do not find this pitch very appealing nor believable. I don't like division, but I'll take it over a false and empty unity around a false and empty man. That's Matt Walsh writing that, okay? So yeah, I have no interest in unity for unity's sake. That's not the deal. I'm for a Christian. Inside the body of Christ, yes, we fight for unity. But with the world, there can be no unity. What fellowship, the Bible says, does darkness have with light? None. Remember that. That doesn't mean you run around and act like a jerk, which I've definitely been guilty of. But it does mean you stand for truth and righteousness. You stand for God's word. And of course, the challenge there is, while at the same time, we violated ourselves, which is why we should be pretty humble people as followers of Jesus. Seven big items on Biden's White House agenda. Taxpayer-funded abortion. Yep. Amnesty. No more wall funding. COVID-19 board. And he's talking about a national mandate. Good luck with that, sir. How are you going to enforce that? By the way, that's going to cause problems if he tries to do that. And he said if governors won't play ball, they'll go around them and talk to mayors of cities, because cities like we had here in North Carolina were doing their own thing. The green economy, which will bankrupt us. Biden care and the public option, more Obamacare stuff. Free college. Biden has called for providing 2 years of community college for free. It kind of almost is already. That's community college. But he also said he wants to make public colleges and universities free for students who come from families with an annual income below 125 grand. Yeah, because we're not already $27.5 trillion in debt. And in another 40 years, we're going to be over $40 trillion in debt. So we can afford to throw away college education. Of course, that's free. Here's the big one. Okay, this is very scary, which is why I will continue to exhort you and myself to pray for January 5th. Pray January 5th, because those are the two U.S. Senate runoff elections in Georgia. And if, God forbid, you want to know what political Armageddon in America looks like, Republicans lose both those seats and Democrats take control of the Senate, then they have the House and they have the White House. And your worst dreams as a conservative will come true rapidly. But here's a really scary one for us religious nut jobs. The Equality Act. Biden said he would push for passage of the Equality Act for transgender Americans during his first 100 days in office. Already passed by the Democrat-controlled House, the law would add sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Okay? That's huge. Many conservatives are concerned that the move would threaten America's religious liberty and privacy, particularly faith-based charities. The plan, which would require American institutions to enforce LGBT rights, would be harmful to religious liberty and to the rights of women, parents, and children, wrote Andrea Jones and Alex Ritchie for the Daily Signal earlier this year. Remember that. That's huge. The Equality Act, all of a sudden, in your church, in your preschool, in your Christian organization, when you use your statement of faith as a way to screen employees, because yes, if you want to come work in the Christian radio show, you need to be a Christian and you need to agree with the tenets of the faith. Well, I don't because I'm a homosexual. Well, you can't agree with the tenets of faith in my Christian organization. I'm not going to hire you. Well, the Equality Act would say, hey, Steve, that's the same thing as saying you're not going to hire that guy or that gal because they're black or female or male or handicapped. That's the power. It adds sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of protected classes as established by the Supreme Court. That's what the Equality Act does. That becomes an atom bomb to destroy religious freedom. And Joe Biden is for it. For all my Catholic friends that voted for Joe Biden. Wow. Okay, back to this unity thing and the Tower of Babel. I'm going to beat this drum a lot. Hopefully I won't have to beat it beyond, I don't know, Christmas. But I fear that I will have to. Here's the problem in America, and we'll leave it at this. We have nothing to unite on anymore. There's no unifying factors. There's not a constitutional civic language that we share anymore because people just don't understand the Constitution or the Founding Fathers or the Founding Principles. And we don't have a Judeo-religious language to share anymore. We used to, for the most part. We don't anymore. So we're just like the Tower of Babel, where people can't communicate and therefore nothing gets done. You just get a deeper and wider divide. That's the problem. And we've lost that ground because we haven't educated the generations behind us on civics, and we haven't been good at advancing the cause of the gospel. And so we've lost the common language of Judeo-Christian ethics, and we've lost the common language of civics. And we have to work to gain both of those back if there's any hope for this country. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.